You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Mick Norton, Rory Delaghi and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. A good day to look forward to as well, with a very good day at Sandown. We've got racing on the flat at Doncaster and day three of the Perth Festival. That's in the afternoon. In the evening we've got Chepstow, Plumpton and Dundalk, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
You're not too bad, Mark. Not too bad at all. Obviously, we're coming to the end of a long old season. The flat season officially doesn't start, of course, until next Saturday. So, with the jumps, the new jumps season starting next Sunday, we've got an overlap.
Yeah.
Which is unusual.
It is unusual. We'll move on to some of the stuff at Sandown in a moment, because obviously that's the end of the jump season.
Of course.
Bit of news before we get to that, though. Obviously, AP McCoy retires on Saturday at Sandown. A bit of a gamble, apparently, on Davy Russell to take over for JP McManus. Obviously, nothing's been confirmed. It's a bit of a guessing game at the moment, but could you see that happening?
Yes, simply because I originally thought it would be Barry Geraghty, but simply because I think they are eventually teeing this role up for Mark Walsh, who's been injured a bit of late. But he probably, obviously, I think he would have become Irish champion jockey had it not been for his injury. He's only five behind Ruby Walsh, and he's back in action actually today. Obviously, that championship goes on into Punchestown. He's back for that anyway. He rides in this. He's five behind Ruby Walsh, who leads the title. It'd be interesting if he was in front of Walsh going into Punchestown, he'd have had a chance. But I'm just going to check the stats, but I'm pretty sure he's five behind.
He is five behind.
So that will be difficult to sort of peg back, I would imagine. But I think the role is made for him eventually. He's only 29 now, Mark Walsh. He's had a very good season, obviously, bar that injury. I actually think that whoever gets this job is going to have it for a couple of years, whether it be Geraghty or Russell. Obviously, both champion jockeys in Ireland in the past, both very experienced, both pretty good on the big stage, as it were, as well. And as I say, I think they're just rather sort of teeing this job up for Mark Walsh, whether it be Russell or Geraghty, not sure, but it'll be one of the two, I should imagine. That a little bit, because they're coming towards the end of their careers, or certainly the latter stages of their careers anyway, so they're going to tee it up for a younger jock in time, and it'll be a bit of a payday for either who steps in to take that job. But who it will be, I can see it being either of them, to be fairly honest.
Yeah. Okay, just a quick look back at some of the action from Wednesday, as well. The Derby trial at Epsom. Christopher Marlowe, an impressive winner on the day. He's been trimmed into 20s from 25s with us for the Derby. Could you see him playing a part on the big day?
Not at the front end. That said, we've got to wait to see what happens through Chester and York first. Should nothing really step up to the plate, obviously there's the trials in Ireland as well. Should nothing really step up on what looks a quite wide open Derby at this stage, at least we know he handles the track. Wasn't convinced with him around Tattenham Corner, actually.
He's won it twice now, hasn't he?
Both in small fields, though, yeah. Which he won't be getting in the Derby, and he won't be. He'll be getting plenty of hustle and bustle, so they kept him wide on a couple of times. He's going to come here for breakfast with the Stars, we'll see how he comes through that. He might go to Chester. Be more interested if he went to Chester. For the Chester Vars, that's an option I saw in the paper today that Connections may well contemplate. Strictly speaking, probably got a fair bit to find at the moment, but was a fairly quickish time, but the times were fairly quick all day there yesterday, simply because of the very strong tailwind.
Okay. Anything else caught your eye in the news or anything before I move on?
Nothing major, I must admit. Obviously, we've got AP retiring, obviously, on Saturday, but And the fallout from that obviously will take place on Sunday, and I suppose we'll be looking at that in more detail tomorrow.
Okay, well, yeah, we will. Let's have a quick look ahead to Saturday at Sandown as well before we move on to getting stuck into the Friday stuff. AP McCoy will have a pretty decent chance in the race named after himself, the AP McCoy Celebration Chase. Mm. 72 co-favourites of three of those at the moment, Mr. Moore, Special Tiara and Sprinter Sacra. Fives for Summersby, God's Own 13-2, eights for Vibrato, Valtat and Court Minstrel 16-1. Could Mr. Moore be the... is obviously the horse he announced his retirement on. Could it be the one he finishes on, or his final winner?
Possibly. Pretty disappointing in the Queen of the Champion Chase, though, wasn't he? And if you look at all this sort of best form, it's come with a bit of cut in the ground. In fact, every single one of his victories, bar one, and that was when he was 1-5 to win a novice chase, has come with the at least soft involved in some point of the going description. Admittedly, I suppose he hasn't had... I mean, he ran in the Grand Annual and fell on quickish ground. He was second in the... I think it was the Swinton Hurdle on quickish ground. He handles it OK, but I think to show his best form, he probably would want the ground a little bit softer than it's likely to be. I notice at the moment it's good to firm in places, albeit there is a little bit of rain forecast, particularly on Saturday. I've not checked the latest weather forecast for the Esher area. I'll do that now, but certainly there was some rain forecast for Saturday. How much, I'm not entirely sure. I'm just looking at the forecast now for Esher.
It is forecast.
There's a little bit, not a huge amount though.
Not enough to really make.
Yeah. And yeah, I can't imagine the clerk of the course would water really, given that forecast.
No. All right. If you had to pick one in there, who would you go with?
Special Tiara. Henry the Bromhead's horse, who, by contrast to most of the others, we know does like quick ground. Obviously won at Aintree a couple of years ago on a decent surface. It was soft when he won at Kempton, winning the Desert Orchid Chase. Then finished third, obviously, in the Champion Chase, only beaten three lengths. Again, that came on top of the ground. Likely to bowl along out in front, might well get his own way out in front as well, just looking at the likely lineup. And yeah, I think he would be the one for me because he comes here just a little bit fresher than some of the others. Obviously, Bravato, Voltat, God's Own, and Court Minstrel all ran at Aintree. Mr. Mole, Summersby, Special Tiara, and Sprinter Sacker obviously haven't been seen since running in the Champion Chase. Summersby does actually quite like it here at Sandown. But whether he can put back-to-back runs, decent runs together like he did on that occasion remains to be seen. Sprinter Sacker has something to prove still.
I'm surprised we've even seen him again, to be honest.
Yeah, so it'd be Special Tiara for me at the current prices.
Okay, the big race on the day is the Gold Cup. Big field, big season finale.
We don't know the full field yet.
No,
but,
we do have betting on site. Obviously, the decks aren't confirmed yet. So, Larev 8-1, 10s for Bobsworth and Grand Gesture and Paint the Clouds in the package. 14s for Union East, 16s for Duke of Lucca, Heathfield, Just Apart, On His Own, Ralco de Farge, Rocky Creek, Sam in Gary and Wonderful Charm, and then 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Has anything caught your eye in there yet?
Grand Gesture, horse who's been on my tracker since the beginning of the season. Finished 12th in the Paddy Power at Leopardstown. Over the Christmas period, and then was kept fresh and back on better ground. He was second at the Cheltenham Festival behind the Druid's nephew, keeping on all the way to the line. Does have to prove himself slightly over this distance, but he's not been stopping on soft conditions in some of his races over 3 miles. Nicely weighted. Could well be the second part of a Henry the Bromhead double.
Could be a good day for him. Right, we'll leave that there. We'll move on to Friday's action. We're going to look at the first four races at Sandown, and Gary will give us his best bets after this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
The first race on Friday is the 1:30, and this is the Esher Cup. It's a handicap over the extended mile. It's for the 3-year-olds. We have a field of 9 here, Gary, and it's quite an open field as well.
It is. We'll go through them from the top. Mr. Universe, who won a couple of times last year, won at York. Sorry, only won the once, but then was stepped up in company. Actually ran behind Elm Park at Salisbury later on in the season. And was pretty disappointing on seasonal debut. That's Musselburgh bidding a long way in a pretty valuable prize. I can take him over carrying top weight. Micaiah won at Newcastle in August of last year, then won at Thurskin and Nursery, and then was stepped up in grade, finishing eighth in the autumn stakes at Newmarket, and then ran in the Horace Hill. Ran okay on both of those occasions. There might be more to come this year, but there might be some others better treated. Yenon is one that definitely interests me, albeit he's going to have to prove that he handles a quicker surface a little bit more, but you just look at Marco, the breeding of Marco Botti's horse. You should imagine he probably will be okay on this surface. He was fourth on his debut on good ground at Newcastle, where he was noisy and he looked badly needed the experience. If you just look at the form comments, noisy and colty in the paddock. So I think we can perhaps forgive that run. He then won at Newbury on his second start. It was interesting to see him so prominent in the market that day, considering what he'd done on his racecourse debut. Then he won at Windsor in a nursery, was entitled to win that day. And then we saw him make a seasonal reappearance at Chelmsford when he finished at third. Didn't get the clearest of runs, was held up right out the back of the field. On paper, strictly, I know he was only beating a length, but it looks a poorish run. But that said, Botti's horse are in good form. Ryan Moore's been booked to ride, and I continue to give any horse, can forgive any horse a bad run at Chelmsford at the moment. Tom Hark also running that Musselburgh race, finishing quite strongly, actually, behind Moonlight the Navigator. Didn't really have the race run to suit. The penny finally dropped with him when he eventually got off the mark at Salisbury last year. I think ultimately he might just want a little bit further, though. Plymouth Sound, for the same trainer who won this corresponding race last year on desperate ground with What About Carlo. This horse won on racecourse debut at Salisbury, then finished second at Bath when the ground, unusually for conditions, what we're seeing racing on Thursday evening there, was actually good to soft. Then was thrown into the deep end in one of those sales races at the Ledger meeting and was ultimately well beaten. Interesting to see how he gets on. Could have progressed from 2 to 3. Same can certainly be said for the next two down. Mutarakez, who won at Doncaster towards the back end at the Racing Post Trophy meeting. Frankie de Torre's been booked to ride him. Obviously, handicap debut. Ditto that for Purple Rock, who won at Redcar towards the back end of last year. Both those trainers starting the season okay, Charlie Hills and Brian Meehan, but without sort of really knocking the ball out of the ballpark. Spring Offensive also ran in that Moonlight Navigator race, finishing second at Musselburgh. It previously won at Redcar and finished second at York towards the back end of last year. Far East has his horses in good form, but how much he will come on for that debut effort, I'm not sure. I wasn't obviously there at Musselburgh, so I'm not sure how ready he was for it. And then we come to Sharkis, who right down at the bottom won for Marcus Tregoning at Chelmsford during the early part of the season. Strictly has to improve a little bit on that, but has shown this current well-being. Plenty you can give chances to. Very interesting race, but I like the chances of Yenon with Ryan Moore booked for the Marco Botti team.
Okay, Yenon for Gary in the 1:30. Then the second race is the 2 o'clock. This is the Gordon Richard Stakes, which is a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. It's for the 4-year-olds and older. And just starting with postponed here, Gary, he improved for a step-up in trip last season, culminating in a win in the Great Voltage at York. So would there be a slight concern about him dropping to a mile and a quarter here?
I think so, especially with Lucas horses. I've been hearing from Kendra in the early part of the season. Obviously, he had a winner with AR, I think it was, at Newbury on Saturday. But the vast majority of them have been coming on from the run, albeit some of the better ones, like the likes of AR, have been getting away with it. But this horse improved for the step-up in trip. If you look back at that run in the Turf Centenary behind Canat Chase, he was doing all his best work late on when he finished behind Canet Chase on that occasion. He was flying at the death to finish in ever near a third. Obviously, he then went up in trip slightly. He won the weak-listed race. I don't think it's a listed race now anymore, the Braveheart Stakes at Hamilton. Luke is not afraid to send his horses up there. I think he's got a fairly decent record in this race, or that race from memory. And then he beat Snow Sky by winning the Great Voltager. Conditions come alike, they'll suit him, in terms of the ground at least, but you just worry about him slightly over this trip, and with only a small field, it might well prove tactical. It might not suit him too well. Canet Chase is going to be the selection horse that I absolutely adore. I remember Ken was there when he was second on his racecourse debut at Kempton towards the back end of his juvenile season. I napped him when he won at Windsor during the early part of last year. Then he won at Newbury in what is traditionally a very strong race, that the London Gold Cup. Plenty of winners to come out of that. He beat Winshear that occasion, obviously. You know, that horse, albeit I can't remember how many times he won after that, but he was obviously placed in the later in some very good races afterwards. And then he bolted up in the Tercentenary. I know he only won by length and a half, but I think he was valued for a fair bit more than that. Obviously, we didn't see him since. Most of Sir Michael Stout's horses have improved for the run as well. That has to be said. But I really do like this horse. Whether he wins or not, he's still going to miss selection whether he wins or not tomorrow. We should mention some of the others. Tullius, who won a listed race at Doncaster, Doncaster Mile earlier on in the season. He actually won on this card last year, but he actually won the Bet 3/6 mile. He's stepping up in trip. You just look at his form. Obviously, he ran in some very decent mile races last year. He was second in the Lincoln. Obviously, he came and won here. Then he was second in the Lockinge. Fourth in the Queen Anne. Fourth in the Joel Stakes behind Custom Cut, who actually runs in the next race we're going to preview. Then he was fourth in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes and obviously won pretty comfortably when winning the 3/6 mile on his return. He might be suited by the way the race is run, but obviously he's a seven-year-old. He's solid, but you'd be disappointed if one of these three-year-olds can't come and beat him. Western Him obviously ran in the Derby last year, finished sixth, having won the trial race here on this corresponding card last year. And then he was a Group 2 winner over in France at Maison Lafitte before running at Deauville in pretty bad ground towards the back end, and then finished fourth behind Noble Mission in the Champion Stakes. I'm sure there'll be more to come from him this year, but it may well be that he just prefers a softer surface. Obviously, they ran him in France a couple of times, and it was pretty soft when he won here on this day last year. The same comments really apply to Arad, who was second at Epsom towards the back end of last season in a conditions race. They pitched him rather at the deep end when he ran in the Champion Stakes and was ultimately fairly well beaten. Certainly speaking, I suppose he does have a fair bit to find on the likes of Postponed and Canet Chase. Postponed and Canet Chase will ultimately prove to be the best horses out of this race. I take Canet Chase just a bit, but Tullius with Postponed, those doubts about the trip.
Okay, on to the 2:30 at Sandown next. This is the Group 2 mile. It's over the extended mile, well, 14 yards longer than a mile. Four-year-olds and older in the lineup here, Gary, you could make a case for, well, several of these. So where do you want to start?
You could. Again, I think we'll probably go through these one by one. We'll start up at the top. Bow Creek, who used to be trained by Mark Johnson. They put the cheap pieces on him for the first time. He's now with Godolphin. He had 8 runs last year as a three-year-old. Took a while for the penny to drop, it has to be said. But when it did, he really held his form very strongly. With the Godolphin operation, they've been in good form all winter. I expect he'll be ready to go, and he definitely makes the shortlist. Custom Cut used to be trained in Ireland. Obviously, won in Ireland last year. Since he moved to the David O'Mara yard, he rattled off a 5-timer, including winning Group 3s, and indeed culminated in that Group 2 race in the at Newmarket towards the back end. He then ran in the Champion Stakes, finishing 8th, but be interesting to see how he gets on. Technically, he's going to have to continue his progression, but David O'Mara started the season okay. Here comes Wen. Balding horse is in pretty decent form. This horse won 3 times last year, including at the May meeting at Chester. Then stepped up in grade. He was well beaten in the Hunt Cup after that. And then he won a Group 2 race in Germany before winning a Group 2 at Newmarket, the Challenge Stakes towards the back end. Definitely more to come from him this year. Be interesting to see how he progresses. He too makes the shortlist. Baltic Knight, well beaten behind Tullius in the mile race at Doncaster earlier on in the season. Basically, he's a decent handicapper, but I think he just struggles when he goes up in grade. So I think we can put the fork through him. Breton Rock is a horse that I like. He's definitely capable in this sort of grade, but all his victories have come on when there's at least the word soft in some part of the going description. He certainly won't be getting that. Master Carpenter was a real credit to the Millman Yard last year. Won a listed race here, and also won a Group 3 in Shaun T. Obviously, he ran in decent races after that as well, culminating finishing behind Custom Cut. Just worry slightly about the ground for him. I just wonder whether he might just prefer it a little bit softer. Shifting Power kept good company last year. He actually ran in the pre-John Pratt towards the middle part of last season, finished behind Chalmers, but wasn't beaten far on that occasion. But we haven't seen him since disappointing and a short price favourite at the Glorious Goodwood meeting. And that was on very quick ground, which was a bit surprising, really, because he'd run okay on good ground at Newmarket before that. Arrives here with a little bit to prove, but he's a year older now. Be interesting to see how he gets on, and he's a previous course winner. And then Top Notch Tonto, who was fourth in this corresponding race last year. Again, another horse that was aggressively campaigned since he was bought, or since he switched yards to the Ryan Ellison team. Again, he's another horse, I think, that prefers a little bit more cut in the ground. So I actually think it's between Bow Creek, Here Comes When, and Shifting Power. And I'm going to go with Bow Creek with the cheap beaters on for the first time.
Bow Creek for Gary then in the 2:30 at Sandown. And we finish in the 3 o'clock, which is the Group 3 Classic Trial. It's over a mile and a quarter. It's for the three-year-olds, obviously. And barring Master Apprentice here, Gary, I wouldn't really want to rule any of these out.
No, definitely not. Albeit his disappointing one last year came in the final Group 1 of the season over in Saint-Cloud. But the fact that they went over there, I mean, he won his maiden on soft ground, which suggests that they probably think he's going to be better on a softer surface. Obviously, he finished second behind Christopher Marlowe on his run to prior to breaking his maiden. But anyway, I think we can put the fork in him. Commemorative up at the top, ran in the Reader's Cup Turf Juvenile when last seen. Before that, he'd won at Newmarket. He won a Group 3 prize there, having shared his maiden tag at Doncaster on the run before that. More to come from him this year. Aidan O'Brien runs Cape Clear Island, who was a winner of a sales race a couple of weeks ago just last week actually, at the Craven meeting. He'd progressed gradually, but he was beaten in favourite a few times before he managed to get his head in front, but we know he's fit and well. And then we come to easily the most interesting runner, Grey Lion. Andre Farr's got a 26% strike rate here in the UK in the last five seasons, 6 from 23, and 8 others have been placed. So over 60% of his runners have been hitting the frame. And when you consider they're running in the top company, and they're not coming over for handicaps, they're running in listed or above races, that has to be noted. Obviously, he won at Saint-Cloud, and the ground was pretty decent that day on his debut. And then he won at Saint-Cloud earlier on this season in a conditions race, outlining the fact that he comes here in decent form. We've mentioned Master Apprentice, and then right down at the bottom, Snow, or Snoweno, however you want to pronounce it, who won at Newbury and Sandown last year, then was pitched in rather at the deep end in the Racing Post Trophy, finishing fifth. Back on a quicker surface will probably suit him. So an interesting little trial race. Tactics will obviously play a part. That said, races in France can often be run at crawl and quicken sort of tempos, and if it is run like that, it'll suit Grey Lion. Even if it's not, I think he is the one to beat. He's easily the most interesting runner. When Andre Farber brings his horses over here, it has to be noted. So, open race, considering there's only five of them, but Grey Lion the one for me.
Grey Lion for Gary then. Let's have a quick summary then, Gary, before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, in the 1:30 Yinan, in the 2 o'clock Canic Chase, in the 2:30 Bow Creek, and in the 3 o'clock Grey Lion.
Superb. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Will do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio for this meeting at Sandown. We've also got racing on the flat at Doncaster and over the obstacles on day three of the Perth Festival. That's the afternoon action. Into the evening, we have Chepstow and Plumpton over obstacles and all weather action, the usual Friday fair at Dundalk on a Friday evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.